It's important to be prepared for disasters and emergencies, but as is often the case, preparation can be taken too far. Listen and learn about the intertwined relationships among preparation, uncertainty, and anxiety, and what you can do to practice prudent preparation. Welcome to Live Well and Flourish, where I help you understand what it means to live a flourishing life. I'm your host, Craig Van Slyke. If you're ready to think beyond material and external success, if you're ready to take control of who you are and the kind of life you live, if you're ready to flourish, this is the podcast for you. It's storm season here in Louisiana. Although I love living here, the weather can be rough. Storm season lasts more than half the year between tornado season and hurricane season. We also have to be prepared for winter storms, which just seems odd in Louisiana. As regular listeners know, we live in the middle of the woods, literally. So if something really bad happens, it might take some time before help arrives. So storm season always brings my anxiety level up a notch. Even before moving to the woods, I was a huge believer in being prepared. I almost always have a backup plan and often have a backup plan to the backup plan. So in preparation for storms and utility outages, we have an automatic whole house generator, an emergency generator in case the big boy fails, lots of water storage containers, non-perishable food, and a lot more. I even keep a high-quality hatchet in the closet where we'll go in case of a tornado. You got to be able to chop your way out. Being prepared for natural disasters provides potential physical benefits, but being prepared also provides psychological benefits regardless of what you're being prepared for. There were a lot of P's in that sentence. One of the biggest benefits of preparation is reducing anxiety. There's no doubt being prepared is a very good thing, up to a point. It turns out that focusing too much on being prepared can actually increase your anxiety. The way this unfolds is pretty interesting. It hinges on the relationships among preparation, uncertainty, and anxiety. Let's start with anxiety. One of the major sources, perhaps the major source of anxiety, is uncertainty. You become anxious when you're uncertain about the future. Humans have an innate need for predictability and control over our environment. When this is compromised, your anxiety level goes up. Back when I used to walk Maggie in the pre-dawn darkness, any odd sound caused my heart rate to jump up and anxiety to take hold. If I could identify the source of the sound, I returned to a more normal state or we got the heck out of Dodge, especially if it was a skunk. The uncertainty caused the anxiety. My brain went into overload trying to figure out the possible sources of the sound and what each potential source meant for our safety or our smell. A lot of the anxiety came from my brain rapidly playing a stream of what-if scenario sequences. What if it's a mountain lion, and what if that mountain lion has cubs nearby, and what if we can't get away quickly, and what if, what if, what if? Each potential scenario heightened the anxiety. This reaction is to a large degree evolutionary. Our ancestors needed to be clued into potential threats so that they could avoid dangers. They had to reduce uncertainty quickly. Those who could survived, and those who couldn't, didn't. So our brains evolved to bake in a psychological reaction to uncertainty. We humans also want a sense of control over our lives and our environments. Uncertainty challenges that sense of control, which can lead to feelings of vulnerability, helplessness, and anxiety. Negativity bias also plays a role here. When we're faced with uncertainty and tick through possible future states, we tend to focus more on possible negative situations. For example, when a storm's coming, the actual chance of it hitting us and causing damage is really pretty low, but it doesn't feel that way at the time. My brain tends to go towards remembering the few times when the storm did hit us and cause difficulties, not the much larger set of times when a storm either bypassed us or hit us and didn't cause any real problems. When a storm does hit and cause significant hardship, we experience a sort of trauma that rears its head when faced with similar situations in the future. Our experience with Hurricane Laura was a bit traumatic, although I hesitate to call it traumatic given what some others went through. Regardless of others' suffering, our experience was real and it left its mark in the form of a learned association between the uncertainty associated with storms and hardship. This kicks in whenever a storm approaches. I could go on, but here's the bottom line. Uncertainty brings anxiety for a whole bunch of reasons. The relationship absolutely exists. So that brings up the question of what we can do about it. Broadly speaking, there are two approaches to dealing with the uncertainty-anxiety link: reducing the uncertainty with more information, and reducing the effects of potential negative future states through preparation. Both are important, and they can be used in combination, but today I want to focus on preparation. We bought the whole house generator I mentioned earlier because of what we went through with Laura. If memory serves, my exact words were, "I am not going through that again." And there might have been some other colorful words thrown in, but that's the gist. So I did what I could to prepare for the next storm. And that preparation has paid off a bunch of times. The most recent was just last week. We lost power for almost 2 days due to a spring storm. Well, it'd be more accurate to say we lost power for about a minute. Then the generator kicked in and supplied power until regular electricity was restored. That was pretty awesome. I was getting ready to head out of town for a conference. If we didn't have the generator, I probably would have had to cancel the trip to help Tracy deal with a power outage. But because we were prepared, life pretty much went on as normal. Without the generator, I would have been an anxious mess trying to figure out whether to cancel my trip, worrying about making sure we had enough fuel for the generator, thinking about how long I could run the generator without a rest, considering which circuits to run and which to cut off, and a thousand other things. Because we were prepared, I didn't worry about any of that, and there was virtually no anxiety, which, again, was pretty awesome. So the scouts have it right. Be prepared. There's a danger here, especially for someone like me. This might get a little complicated, so please stay with me. Being prepared is great, but to be prepared, you have to know what potential future states to prepare for. In other words, you have to answer the question, prepare for what? For example, the generator is in preparation for power outages. We have designated safe rooms in preparation for tornadoes. And I could go on. So, to be prepared, you need to think through potential problems. Hopefully that makes sense. But here's where the problem comes in. There's an almost infinite array of possible future states. A tree can fall on the house, a tornado can tear off our roof, we did lose part of a barn roof to a mini twister. Another hurricane can cause supply chain disruptions and other problems, a sinkhole can open up, our water supply can become contaminated, we can have another pandemic, God forbid, we can have hyperinflation, again, God forbid, there can be widespread political unrest, I can come down with a debilitating illness, there can be a run on dog treats, that one's mostly a concern for the pups, we can experience major labor unrest and strikes, the list goes on and on and on. The list of potential bad events is limited only by your imagination. If you try to prepare for all of these, you'll just make yourself crazy, or to put it more precisely, you'll experience debilitating anxiety over preparation. One reason for this is that each new potential negative event triggers your imagination to come up with others, which increases uncertainty and anxiety. There's another trigger. Trying to figure out the best ways to prepare introduces new uncertainty and anxiety. All of this can quickly become a downward spiral of endless what-if-isms and anxiety. Trust me on this, I've experienced it more than a few times. So there's a sort of a U-shaped relationship between preparation and anxiety. Up to a point, more preparation reduces anxiety, but there's a tipping point. Too much preparation triggers the downward spiral, and trying to be prepared leads to increased anxiety. To borrow from Aristotle, there's a golden mean of preparation. It's kind of like salt when you're cooking. Too little and the dish is bland, too much and all you taste is the salt. What can you do to strike the right balance? Prudent, Preparation. Prudent is an interesting word and implies several aspects that relate to living an excellent life. First, it implies the ability to think ahead and anticipate potential events and needs. But it goes further. Prudent also implies a sense of providing for the future using sound judgment, caution, and practical wisdom. That all aligns with what it means to live an excellent life. But prudent does not mean excessive. It means finding the right level of preparation and planning. So, how can you do that? Well, consider risk, which involves thinking about probabilities and consequences. When thinking through a potential negative event, consider the likelihood of the event and how bad it'll be if the event comes to pass. Living in the woods in a rural area means multi-day power outages are more likely than if we lived in a city with underground utilities. But being a victim of crime while at home is a much lower probability event now than when we lived in the city in St. Louis. But lower probability doesn't mean zero. So even for unlikely events, you need to think about the magnitude of the impact if the event should happen. A break-in is pretty devastating, especially if it happens when you're at home, so we still lock our doors at night. If an event is high probability or high magnitude, it may be worth preparing for. My English teachers would be appalled at that sentence, but I think you might get my meaning. We can also take some actions that will help deal with multiple types of emergencies. Keep a good first aid kit. Make sure you have an up-to-date contact list. Don't just rely on your phone. Get a fire and waterproof box for critical documents. Keep yourself healthy or as healthy as you can. Get your financial house in order. Learn some basic first aid. Check your insurance coverages. Make sure your smoke alarms and fire extinguishers are in good shape. All of these will help you deal with multiple types of bad events. Don't get overwhelmed, though. Just get started and make slow, steady progress, and before you know it, you'll be prudently prepared. Here are three other things you can do this week to help you become better prepared. My first suggestion is a big one, and it's an easy one. Listen to the Practical Prepping Podcast. It's an awesome podcast my friends Mark and Krista put together. It's a wealth of knowledge for becoming better prepared. I love their tagline, which is no bunkers, no zombies, no alien invasions, just practical prepping. Mark and Krista do a great job of focusing on practical, actionable advice, not end-of-times craziness. One of my favorite episodes was on the many uses of hydrogen peroxide. I had no idea. They also have a couple of great books and offer a free Getting Started in Prepping PDF that's an excellent resource. You can check out Practical Prepping on any major podcast app or at practicalprepping.info. My second suggestion is something you might not be able to practice right away, but it's worth remembering. When it looks like something bad might be on the horizon and you feel yourself getting into the what-ifs, break the downward spiral by thinking about probabilities. Yeah, I know, probabilities, how exciting. But just stopping for a second to think about the likelihood of a bad event can be enough to stop the downward spiral so that you can engage in prudent preparation. Finally, I believe that one of the most important things you can do to be prepared for virtually any negative event is to build a strong social network. When we were trying to get through Laura, our neighbors were literal lifesavers in some ways. Yeah, I know, I've talked about the importance of having a strong network a lot, and that is not an accident. To paraphrase the Beatles, you can get by with a little help from your friends. Fire, tornado, hurricane, illness, job loss, it doesn't matter. No matter what happens, a strong set of friends can help you endure the storm. Today's closing quote is an old proverb of questionable origin, but I think it fits. Prepare the umbrella before it rains. Until next time, be prepared, my friends.
I produce Live Well and Flourish because of my dedication to helping others live excellent lives. I don't accept sponsorships and I don't want your money. The only thing I want is to help you and others flourish. If you've received some value from this episode, please share it with someone that might also benefit from listening. The best way to do that is to direct them to livewellandflourish.com. Until next time.